As Pastor has already kind of alluded to it, this is a three-part series, and this is the last part of the series. And based on when God gave me this message, this was the key of the keys. So before we go any further, I just want to recap on the other two keys that we talked about in the previous weeks. 2 weeks ago, we learned about our knowledge and our understanding and how our understanding is flawed. We cannot rely on our understanding because our understanding is based on the world and the things that exist in the world. However, we can gain knowledge of the Lord through His Word by seeking it and studying it, and we can gain knowledge so that we can understand His position and our position in equivalence to His position. So we can find out where we stand and where He stands. Okay? So that was the first key. All right, and that was 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we went in and we learned about our certainty and how we have an assurance through His Word that what He says, He will do.
Right.
Okay? And that we have to count that onto our faith, that the same faith that saved you, the same faith that brought you to the Lord, can do all things that are in this book. Can do it.
Right.
Okay? So we learned about those two things so that this kingdom faith that we've been talking about, how it is simplified, and we're trying to remember now, get rid of that overcomplicated faith that we created. God didn't intend it. His original plan was, it's this simple. It's this simple. Okay? But the last part is the most important part. If you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you notice, I didn't mention a verse. And the reason for it is because this whole chapter is the key. Not one verse can be spared. Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I will begin reading. We all there? Close? Okay? I'm going to read it anyway so you guys can follow along. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that its all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is a real message of faith, but the key, the real key, is that we have to do it. It is no longer this faith of, well, I got this and I can handle it. I'll take it in my own stride. Or I'll take it a little bit here and where it ends up, I'll figure that out when I get there. And then when I get there, I'll you know, move a little bit further and go on to the next thing. That faith doesn't exist. Not in here. If you read that, and you read that with deep intent and study it and learn what God's trying to say here, you can figure it out. Okay? If you read and you go back in there and just look at it, it tells you, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be pressed. You're going to be struck down. But you will not be destroyed. That takes faith. Does it not? The enemy comes at you. He's going to try and take you out. It takes faith to push him back. If you don't have faith, like I said yesterday or last Sunday, you are just an easy target. He will take you out. But you need to have faith. And you need to be certain in what you believe. Okay? Hence that key. All right? But getting to this point, all right, we have to look through and realize that there is a lot more to the full encompassment of this key. This key is known as the sacrifice key. Okay? The sacrifice key. And if we look through, and we can find in Scripture all over the place. Matter of fact, let's see. We'll pull out one just for the sake of it. I'm going to pull that out of there. James 2, verse 17 will tell us clearly how it is sacrifice. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You need to show your faith. We have had nothing but people talking about it all day today, from prayer to the words that have been spoken, to the visions, to everything that's going on in this church. Hear me. Faith without action is dead.
That's right.
Your faith, if there's no action in it, is dead. However, what about kingdom faith? See, I can sit here and have my faith, and then I can go and do a little action. Will it have life? Sure. But is that life glorifying to God? Is that life winning souls? Is that life seeking His will, His way, His purpose? Is it bringing glory to God? Probably not. That faith's just taking care of me. See, that's the key. That's the principle. There are two separate entities living within us, whether you realize it or not. You have Christ that dwells within you, and you have you. And for as long as we live on this planet and our life still has breath in it, they will war against each other. Because my flesh wants to do what it wants to do all the time.
Right.
Christ does not want me to do that. He wants me to do this. But why does that make us so we don't want to? Why is it like that? Why is it like that? See, the reality is, yes, you will be pressed. You will be crushed. You will be pushed around. It's going to ruffle your feathers. Absolutely. Because everything that we want to do is not going to bring glory to Him. Everything He wants us to do is going to bring glory to Him.
Right.
But if we do what He's telling us to do, just a little bit more of me dies, and a little bit of more Him lives. So it's always going to win no matter what. He's won. It's done. We have, if you've been through discipleship, you go through the old man and the new man, okay? The old man is dead. He's nailed up on the cross. Leave him up there, and guess what? Your life will change.
Right.
But if you don't, you're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that are overwhelming, things that are too tough to get through. Okay? This is why it's called a sacrifice, because for us as fleshly beings on this planet, it will always be a sacrifice. If you are not giving something up to do the will of God, something's wrong. Something is wrong. That's not kingdom faith. That's your faith. If you're comfortable doing what God wants you to do, that's not what God wanted you to do. I guarantee it, because His ways are not our ways.
Right.
His thoughts are high above. They're not going to be the same as what we want to do. We should not be comfortable with the things that God wants to do. It should turn us. It should make us move in a way that's different than what we've done before.
Right.
Okay? Because none are like Christ. None. We may be in His image, but we are not like Him. We have a long way to go. All right? So that's why it's sacrifice. That is exactly why it's sacrifice. Okay? But there's a key in even this. Okay? And the real key, if you go to verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." If you remember, I said the same spirit that dwells within you, that you received Christ through, is the same that should be coming out of you. Right? That's what it's saying right there. But there's a key point. You have to speak. If you don't open your mouth, how's anybody going to know that you're saved?
Right.
Will they know? But see, speaking by itself is not enough. Speaking by itself is not enough, because anybody here will tell you, I've told, you can tell anybody in this church that you're saved. Oh, great, good for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But are you going to go out of here and tell somebody? No. Why not? Why won't you do it? Because your life is not bringing glory. It's bringing shame to that statement. So you won't go out and tell somebody that you are in love with the Lord. You won't go out and tell somebody that you're living a life for God. Because your life doesn't line up. And you look like a fool. The sacrifice. The sacrifice starts with you, obviously, changing your ways. Right? We can get to this point. Everybody here has come to this crux once in their life. Either you get right or you get left. Tough statement to take, but it's the truth. Because God's not going to wait for you. He's got other plans, and He's got way more people than you can imagine. You're not the only boat. You're not the only person in the boat. Okay? So there's more ways to go around this. All right? We know this. So if we want to have the kingdom faith that He's talking about, if we want to move out and see the things that God is in store for our lives, the things that He wants us to do, and see His church rise up in these nations, these days, it takes sacrifice. It takes holy, undignified sacrifice.
Right.
You need to die to yourself. Period. Now that may seem like, oh no, I'm not preaching a suicide message. I'm preaching a message of, if God says, I want you to stop with profane speaking, okay, out in public, I want you to start bringing glory to me by speaking good things and better speech and better words, then guess what you better start doing? You best start cleaning up your speech. You best start going out there and talking like an intelligent person. And when you're talking, it better have a purpose. And that purpose better be what He's saying. But that takes sacrifice. Because I am so ingrained to just go and talk like them. And do what they say. And say like they do. And all these other things. But I have to give that up. That's not me anymore. I'm in Christ Jesus now. This is who I am. If I'm going to represent the King, guess what? I got to dress like the King. I got to walk like the King. I got to talk like the King.
Come on.
That takes sacrifice.
It does.
Okay? If it doesn't, something's wrong.
Yes.
All right? So the question is, then, if we know the first two keys, we know we have to gain knowledge and understanding, and where we get our knowledge is from where?
The Word of God.
All right? So if we go into the Word and we seek the Lord and we go, Lord, what is it you are trying to reveal to me in this word? Guess what He's going to reveal to you? Something He wants you to do. Right? He's got a purpose and a plan. You're a part of it. Guess what? You have a job to do. What is your job? I'm not here to tell you what your job is. That's your job to go find that out. But you need to find out what your job is. I know what my job is. He knows what his job is. Find out what your job is, because the second you know what your job is, guess what? You know what you need to have prepared for. Everybody here who's gone and went through the hiring procedure of their employment knows you come in, your first day is training, okay? You get trained. Why are you getting trained? So you know what your responsibilities are. Then you learn about how you're supposed to dress for work every day. what tools you may need to bring to work every day, what kind of things they're going to ask you to do and you'll be required to take care of. That's your job. And you will do that job or you will not have a
job.
That's exactly right. So guess what? Do you think it's any different in the kingdom?
Nope.
I don't know about you, but I can tell you right now, I haven't worked nearly as long as this man has, but I'm tired already. I love my job. Don't get me wrong. I have a great job. But if I had to choose between getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to work every day or staying at home and resting, I'd much rather stay at home and rest. That's much beneficial for me. Working, however, requires me to sacrifice what I want, which is sleep, and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and work a 10-hour day. That's sacrifice. But is there a reward?
Yes.
Absolutely. There is a reward. There is a reward. However, guess what? In the kingdom, not all the same. Not always. Your job on this planet is not for a reward on this planet. Although there may be rewards. God will bless us. He will provide. He will do. However, our reward is not here. Our reward is in eternity with Him. We are working towards that goal, church. That's the kingdom goal. The kingdom goal is not to work for a reward here, because everything that's here is going to be taken out and thrown away. There's nothing good in this planet. Nothing.
It is.
Yes, it will be tossed away. Swept under the carpet even, and then the carpet will get lit on fire and it'll all get burned up anyway. But the reality is that nothing good is in this world. Anything, the only thing that is precious in this planet are God's people.
That's right.
That's it. Okay? And our sacrifice needs to be that we are going to give up what we want and our desires for the purposes of the kingdom. That is the kingdom message. That is all there is to it. The keys to our kingdom faith are so that we can do this. Because that's the faith that's required to get things done. Okay? His church is not going to accomplish anything if they're just sitting around in this building, either looking at each other and pointing out flaws, or if they're just sitting around talking about how great God is. There is no value in it here. None. The value is out there. How many of us want, well, I can't say that today. I'm sure everybody wants to get out of here. We're scorching. It's hot in here, you know. But how many of us are willing to go and preach that same message, but to your family that doesn't know the Lord? Or how about to your neighbor who doesn't know the Lord? Or how about to your fellow employees that don't know the Lord? I know you will. I know you do. Not everybody does, though. But the church is not one person. The church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
All right? We are the church. This is a building, people. We are the church. Okay? It's our responsibility. God gave it to us. It's our responsibility. And if we look at all the different areas in Scripture where God opens and shows us these things, there's always a pattern. Okay? It's less of us and more of Him. No matter what the case is. And the reason for it is because if I'm supposed to be a representative of the Lord and I step out of this building, guess who needs to die? I will. Yeah, if I'm going to. If you're going out, you need to. I can't die for you. Sorry. No, you cannot. Okay? And this is true. However, if I'm going to step out of here, I need to recognize that there are some important facts. Okay? If you look at the definition of surrender, okay? The definition of surrender is, definition of sacrifice, is the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. What is more higher and more pressing than God and His will? So, if we have to surrender what's prized and precious to us so that He can be magnified, then guess what? You need to start giving something up. But that's just the regular definition of sacrifice. If you take that definition and you apply that in Scripture, you'll see there's more ways than that is revealed. We sung it today. in a song, and it's also a scripture. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not my will be done on earth. It's His will. I need to give it up. Whatever God has said in your life that you need to give up so that He can be glorified, guess what? The second you start doing that, the second the gospel is going to start getting preached. I guarantee it. Because that is the thing that's holding you back from keeping you preaching the gospel, wherever it may be. It's keeping you back. That's why it's a sacrifice. Because it's hard for us to give up that prized thing, that personal thing that is us. But see, our faith, remember, this is about getting rid of that garbage faith that we have, which it really is, and we'll figure it all out today. We'll figure it all out. That faith is so bad because it talks about me. It talks about what I've accomplished. It talks about how I've came from this place and got to this place. Notice, I didn't say anything about what God has done yet. It's all about me. And we have a saying, me, 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 I, the opera singer. Okay? This is the problem with that faith. That faith keeps you comfortable. And there's no such thing as comfort in the kingdom. It is not a comfort kingdom. It is an uncomfortable kingdom. Because God is so high above us, so much more righteous than we are, that we have to give something up. Okay? Now, what do we have to give up? What do we have to give up? Is it just our lives? It's more than that. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. Because if we just give up that one thing that God says, just that one thing, whatever it is, whatever the Lord set on your heart, to give it up so that He can be magnified, that one thing will only bring you so far. There is a such thing as a total surrender. A total surrender. And the thing you need to give up is that faith that you have, your faith. That faith that you hold on to, that keeps you comfortable, you have to give that up. We seem to forget. We got saved by faith, right? Yes? Everyone here received Christ through faith, right? Who gave you the faith? It wasn't mine. I sure as heck wouldn't have done that. God gave me that faith in Him, so that I could have Him in my life. Man, I'm a crummy, crummy keeper of other people's things because I took what He gave me and made it my own. That's what we've done. That's the faith that dwells in us, is the faith that we received. Come to the Lord, we have our faith now, and we go, okay, I got this, God. I'm going to go do these things in Your name. And then He turns around and says, but I never knew you. Why? Why does He say, I never knew you, but you did these things in His name? That took faith, but that was under your faith. That wasn't His faith. That wasn't that faith that He originally gave you. You took that faith and you made it your own so that you could have it your way. You can have the greasy grace. You can have your one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I don't know about you, but the Word says something about a fence sitter, and that is not a good place to be. Be it either hot or cold. But if you are lukewarm, He will spit you out. That is not the place you should be. But all of the church today, people, are in that place. Because they don't want to move out in God. They want to keep one foot in the world because that's where they're comfortable. That's the comfort problem, and that is where we get in trouble. And that's because we have this faith that says it's okay. It's okay. That's all right. It's not that big a deal. That person will forgive you. Don't sweat it. We'd rather live in that chaos and in that problem atmosphere, right? No? We don't like chaos? We don't like all the problems that are in our life? We don't like all that garbage? Right? then why aren't we doing that simple, clean message? Why aren't we following that simple, clean faith that He already set up for us through His Word? It's that simple. We've covered it today. Go seek His Word. Get the knowledge that you need through His Word. Find out what He's saying to you. What do you need to get right in your life? Then take the certainty that you have in the Word, because that's truth, and you can count on it, and do it. And your life will change. I guarantee it. And then once that change takes place, you will see more of Him dwelling in you and less of you. You will see that those things that used to be comfortable for you are now making you uncomfortable. Because you're taking on more of His righteousness. And He cannot dwell with that. So you are going to change supernaturally. And those things that you thought were great and fun are going to become sin. I'm not partaking of that. You guys go do what you want to do. I'm doing this. Why are you doing that? Oh, because it's something that I like to do now. You know, it's peaceful, it's calm, and it brings glory to my God. Testimony. There it's done. And you know what? Sooner or later, you'll realize that the faith you had caused you more harm than good. But the kingdom faith that He provided in Scripture from the beginning has always been meant for Him to be promoted and for us to become better. Everything that goes on in our life is for a reason. But if we apply kingdom faith to it, it comes to our better, not to our dismay. Our faith will cause us to stumble. Our faith will cause us to go under. His faith that He provided through Scripture will only lift Him up, promote Him through the change that takes place in our life. But we have to sacrifice what we want. We have to give up, our desire. We have to give up our needs. Okay? And if you look at the Scripture in the title, I don't know what the title of your Scripture is, but I know in mine, it says, treasures in jars of clay. And what I had brought today, are some jars of clay. And the reason for these jars of clay is so that we can understand. And in this church, we do something called an object lesson once in a while. Pastor throws an object in there because it helps express the point just a little bit better. And this object is very important. If we look at the Scripture, it says that we have a treasure in a jar of clay. And this treasure is the light of Jesus Christ. It dwells within you and it dwells within all of us. Okay? How are we supposed to go out into the world and preach the gospel if we put a lid on that jar when we walk out? They don't know the difference between you and the guy standing next to you, and that will forever be the case. See, church, we got it backwards. When we come here on Sunday, we tend to do this. We dress nice. We put on our best dress. We get in our little Christianity or churchianity, as I like to put it. And we come here and we go, oh, Lord, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. The word was great. I appreciate it. You guys are great. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Out the door I go. And then I'm cursing like a sailor. I'm drinking. I'm getting drunk. I'm doing this. I'm going to parties. I'm going to clubs. I'm on the internet watching pornography. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Where's the glory to God in that? I'm not saying I'm doing these things. I'm just saying these are things that we would do. It's an example. It's an illustration.
I'm glad you clarified that.
It's an illustration. All right. But the reality of it is that we spend Monday through Saturday living like the world, and we come here on Sunday to be like God. But it's the other way around. If anything, it should be Monday through Saturday, you're living like God, and you're out there preaching and testifying of all the things He's done. And you come in on Sunday to be on your feet, on your knees, down on the ground, asking for forgiveness for all the areas you messed up during the week. You should not be here going, oh, I'm good. The last thing you should say is, oh, I'm good. If you're good, you didn't do something right during the week, because guess what? You should be coming in here going, guys, I need prayer. I need encouragement. This thing's going on. This is going on. God's doing this in my job, and I've been preaching it, and they're this close, and you know what? I just need a little bit more to press through. I'm on my feet, you know, every day, but now I'm on my knees because I need more of you, God. I need more of you to get that breakthrough or that breakout that we're talking about. How are you going to get it if every day you come here, you're good? This is your place to get rejuvenated, not to come and put on a facade and act like everything's all right. But what do? We come in here, we let our little light shine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And then the second I go out, cork. That's not what he's talking about. That's not the message. And the gospel will never get preached, ever. The church will die in and of itself. We will all die here. Yes, we'll be happy and we'll be united and our arms will be clenched, but that will be the end of it. And we will not expand. We will not see our family saved. We will not see our friends come to the Lord. We will not see anything change in our life. That will be what you have. Amen. And that pattern breeds death. We have to sacrifice. And what I like to call this little pot, okay? Could you get a pen for me out of the bag? One in the top pouch here. Got it. What I like to consider this little jar, I'm going to write it right on here. Being specific. That's my faith. Says Gary Poduzik's faith. I'm being specific. This is representing my faith. And let me tell you, one thing I've learned throughout my entire walk is that the longer I have the ability to go back to whatever it was that I liked, I would. It is our human nature to go back to what we liked. As long as I have that jar and I have that cork, I will put a cork in it, and I will hide it where I can. It will forever exist. But today, yes, that will no longer exist. Cool. You laugh. You laugh, but take it as a token.
Amen.
And it is a symbol and a representation of the faith that you once had. Because that faith would keep that light down. That faith will keep you comfortable. That faith will keep you happy. But there isn't that in the kingdom. You will be happy. Oh, you will. You will be overwhelmed with joy, but it won't be in what you've done. It will be in what the Lord is doing in you. And then you will light that. You will let that light shine out in the darkest of places. We saw that vision. I don't know if you see it too, but I'm telling you guys, that is the goal of this church, and days are getting dark. And if you're going to put a cork on your light and keep it enclosed, you will not see the glory of God revealed in your life. You will not preach the gospel. You will become what is considered ineffective in the kingdom. And there's only one place that leads. And I pray that each one of you today will come up, take your little jar, and I don't want you to smash it when you feel like you need to. When you're ready, take it as a symbol. This is my faith. This is what I have now. Are you really ready to give that up, to accept the kingdom faith and the reality that this is going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are? Because that is kingdom faith. It is not about you. It's about Christ. Period. He's dwelling in you, and the more you keep that cork on it, the worse it's going to get. But if you break that jar, there's never a chance. I cannot put a cork back on this if I tried. It's done. It's over. It's light forevermore. And if I'm going to try and put a cork on it, it's not going to happen. It's light from here on out. It will be His glory. It will be His message preached. It will be His gospel that's going into the streets. And it will be His will that's done forevermore. That's my life. but I'm only going to leave it up to you. You take your jar. You write your thing on it. That's fine. Break it when you're ready to give it up. Don't break it just because. Break it whenever you're ready to give it up. I recommend if you want to break your jar, get a plastic bag. That way there's less mess. Don't shatter it around the floors or anything like that. There's little children. They will cut themselves. That's the only message. That's a disclaimer, okay, for your jar. But serious, take it as a mark in your life. Lay claim to the faith that He originally gave to you. Throw out that crap that is there. It's no good. It's no good. It's garbage. It's only going to keep you in your normal, mundane lifestyle. The same old, same old. You will not see anything new and miraculous happen in your life. You will not see the miracles that God has in store. You will not see the glory of God revealed. I look at what's done in this book and I go, God, why can't we see that today? Where is that in your place today? Where is that in your church today? My people don't have enough faith. That's a sad testimony. 2,000 years ago, his people had more faith than 2,000 years prior. I think there's something wrong with that equation, and I think that there's a time for change. And I think that that change needs to take place now. Amen? You with me? You with me, church? Are you with me? Come get your jar. I do not have bags. Do it on your own time. You can write it, though. There's a big bag down here, but then you'll have to take your pieces. This is so you, if you get a little Ziploc bag, you can keep it as a little memory of it. But break it when you're serious. If you're going to get right with God and you're going to be serious about it, that's the time to break it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. I just thank you, God, for your word, God. I thank you for your people, God, and the openness of their hearts, God. And I thank you, Lord, for just being able to reach out, God, into our hearts, God, and continue to twist our faith, God, till we get it to the place, God, that it's going to glorify you, God, that it's going to bring you glory, and it's going to see your will done in these days, God. And I pray, God, that you would continue to stir the hearts of your people, not just in streams, God, but in the church worldwide, God, yes, so that we can have this holy breakout of your gospel and your word preached in the streets, God. We want to see your kingdom come, God. We want your will done on this planet, God, before you come and take us out, God. So continue to break us so that we can be of more use to you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.